702.
SMS Karima
on 31702.
It's coming up for 19 minutes after 9 o'clock. This is the Karima Brown Show. You are listening to 702. Now, the Competitions Commission has found that an agreement between the SABC and MultiChoice enabled MultiChoice to influence the strategic direction of the public broadcaster. This follows a Constitutional Court judgment on September the 28th, which granted the Commission the right to investigate whether the commercial and master channel distribution agreement between the public broadcaster and MultiChoice on July 3, 2013 constituted a notifiable merger. The commission was then tasked with filing a report to the tribunal within 30 days. Now, the commission wants the public broadcaster and MultiChoice to register the transaction as a merger, failing which they will be in violation of competition laws. The five-year agreement worth 500 million rand gave MultiChoice the right to broadcast SABC's 24-hour news channel and entertainment channel, SABC Encore. We reached out to the SABC for comment on this matter, and we were told to refer to the statement which they issued today, which states the following, and it reads, the South African Broadcasting Corporation has noted with concern the Competition Commission's ruling on the SABC and MultiChoice agreement entered into in July 2013 and which has since expired. The Commission's ruling found that the encryption part of the 2013 agreement amounted to a notifiable merger and recommended that the SABC and MultiChoice file the 2013 agreement as a merger with respect to the encryption part of that agreement. The SABC has since entered into a new commercial channel supply agreement with MultiChoice, which is the SABC's understanding does not constitute a merger. The SABC board is reviewing the Commission's recommendation in relation to the encryption part of the 2013 agreement and will respond appropriately in due course. The SABC remains committed to ensure compliance with applicable competition laws. So that's the official view of the SABC at the moment, which of course just kicks the matter to touch and places the responsibility on the board. In the meantime, of course, there are a lot of people that have criticized this deal and that have spoken of the relationship between the two and the dominance of MultiChoice, political parties, social organizations, civil society, and so forth. And so to get a view on this, I'm now joined on the line by Tandi Smith, who is head of policy at Media Monitoring Africa. Ms. Smith, good evening. Welcome to the Karima Brown Show.
Hi, good evening, Karima. Thanks for having me.
Now, what do you make of the SABC's statement that says its new arrangement, which they have entered into, the new commercial channel supply agreement with MultiChoice, which is the SABC's understanding does not constitute a merger. Do you agree with that position?
You know, I think what we need to remember is that we are dealing with a very different board today than we had during the negotiations and the agreement of the previous MultiChoice SABC agreement.
Right.
So at the moment, there hasn't been anything to give reason to be concerned about the contract, other than the fact that it should be interrogated and that it should be transparent in that it doesn't qualify or constitute a notifiable merger.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with very different agreements, and I think that the board now went into this period very well aware of the court cases taking place and aware of what went into the previous agreement and that they're doing it differently this time.
Now, the previous agreement, what is the legal status thereof? Because, I mean, essentially, the Competition Commission found that the agreement was, in fact, a way that enabled MultiChoice to influence the strategic direction of the public broadcaster. The Commission was then tasked with filling a report to the tribunal within 30 days. The Commission wanted the public broadcaster and MultiChoice to register the transaction as a merger, failing which they will be be in breach or in violation of the competition laws. Now, I mean, that is pretty emphatic. That is pretty clear. If the SABC says we are involved in a new arrangement, in our view, it doesn't constitute a merger. And so, you know, does it mean that the findings of the of the Competition Commission is moot?
So that is something that we are also trying to get some clarity, legal advice and clarity around exactly what that means. I mean, this case has been going on for a few years now. As you know, the agreement started in 2013. The case was brought forward originally in early 2015. So it is something that, you know, obviously us as the parties involved were hoping would get ruled on or you know, get the judgment handed down while the contract was still in place. As I said, we are getting some clarity and advice on what this means as a retrospective issue. But like you say, it is quite clear that they have been told to now submitted as a notify the Competitions Commission as a merger, and failing which there will be penalties. So I think that we need to leave it in the hands of MultiChoice and SABC to follow through with the findings of the commission. And we also hope that, you know, if there are further investigations or things that need to take place, that anything untoward or anything that may seem to be illegal or otherwise, you know, a practice of bad governance emerges. We know that period was a really dark time for the public broadcaster.
Yeah, in fact, if one wants to cast one's mind back, it was in fact media group Caxton in 2015 that made the application directly to the Competitions Tribunal of South Africa challenging that 2013 deal alongside Save Our Public Broadcaster Coalition and yourselves. Course, in that agreement, MultiChoice had the right to broadcast the 24-hour channel and the entertainment channel. Now, a lot of organizations such as the South African Communist Party, COSATU, certainly the Right to Know campaign, have all spoken about the dominance of MultiChoice, the monopoly that it has. What interests me as well, Thandi, and I'm not sure if you are aware of this, but this statement that was issued today by the SABC is issued by Neo Momudu. She is the corporate affairs marketing spokesperson. Now, she used to work for GCIS, and then she left GCIS to go work for, guess, News 24, which is, of course, part of MultiChoice. And now, of course, she is the spokesperson of the SABC. For example, someone like Matata Tsedu, who has a lot of credibility as a journalist and who's been tested, was also, of course, paid by Media 24 because they, of course, paid the salary of the executive director of SANEF, a position that Mr. Matata Tsedu occupied. Now, what is also interesting is that Mr. Joe Tlowe, another stalwart of media, is in fact the head of the commission that's looking into whether there was political or editorial interference in the SABC. And we also know that Mr. Tlowe has just been appointed the advisor of this new group of people made up of former SABC people who won the right to have a channel on MultiChoice's MNET, you know, bouquet. So MultiChoice is in fact a player, a referee, an arbiter, and people move between these organizations. Does it not concern you that MultiChoice essentially has all the pieces on the chessboard and can make all the moves?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, deeply concerning. And we've also been quite outspoken before about MultiChoice's monopoly over the industry. I think one cannot ignore that is the reality that we're dealing with. And at the beginning of the case that was brought forward, one of the key issues for us was, in fact, the issue around the archive content and the content on the broadcasting content on MultiChoice. For us, that was really the heart of what we were pushing for, in that you cannot have a private entity having that much control over public archives. You know, the whole issue around the strategy and the strategic positions around policy and that kind of thing, that all came up, you know, as the case unfolded. But for us, it was about the dominance and the hold that multi-choice has. And, you know, ICASA has been holding these inquiries as well around competition. The Competitions Commission has also been having various inquiries around competition in the market. So it is in fact a problem, and there needs to be more awareness, and people need to be made far more aware of how intricate these relationships go.
In fact, one of the issues that we've seen, for example, was an issue that developed between Mr. Koos Bekker and the former Minister of Communications, Mr. Yunus Karim, who is, of course, now the chair of the Finance Committee, the Standing Committee on Finance. And he spoke about that very thin line between lobbying and actually, influencing the strategic direction, which is essentially what the Competition Commission had found. And there are many people who believe that MultiChoice was instrumental in getting the powers that be to remove Mr. Karim from his position because of the fact that he was not prepared to allow the dominance of this institution within the industry. The other important fact, of course, also that adds to the complexity and the layeredness of this is that it is, in fact, a MultiChoice that offered to digitize the African National Congress's archives. And that is quite a big favor that you're doing the governing party.
Yes.
And then, of course, we have a situation where one of the chief directors at MultiChoice is also the son-in-law of Mr. Gwede Mantashe, the current treasurer general, current chairperson of the African National Congress, and also the Minister of Minerals. Now, of course, you can't blame people for who they marry and in which families they marry, but these links are insidious. They are not to be ignored because we know how power works. It doesn't always manifest in formal minutes, in memos, in paper trails. It often gets discussed in the kinds of spaces where people have the freedom to exercise enormous amounts of influence and change the direction. And we are talking here about the public broadcaster, an institution that the majority of South Africans have as the only source of information. MultiChoice's dominance in this space is concerning. Its relationships, the overlaps, the blurring of lines does constitute a huge level of concern.
Yeah. I mean, what you're saying, you know, listening to what you're saying really sort of resonates with me that we're dealing with politics here.
Yes.
I mean, I think that, you know, the sorts of relationships and, you know, the deals and the sort of behind the boardroom conversations that take place are not unique to the media industry.
Yes.
It's just because we're dealing, like you say, we're dealing with the public broadcaster, it's that much more critical that it remains independent, transparent, and accountable to the audience that it serves. And I think that's the bottom line that we need to, you know, take into consideration. Again, there's been a lot of sort of political changes and political relationships that have changed since this time with the public broadcaster. We're now dealing with ministerial interference, we're dealing with the fact that ministerial interference has been pushed aside with one of, again, another court ruling that we had earlier this year, limiting the minister's powers over the board appointments and removal. That's a huge impact on the independence of the SABC. And we also can't ignore the fact that Mr. Motsoeneng was also put in place or hired and gave the powers that he had due to various relationships and various people that put him in that position.
Mm-hmm.
So we are looking at a time where, you know, a lot of this was taking place. But what gives me a bit of, more of a positive outlook and a bit of optimism here is that I think we are really seeing positive steps in the way forward with the inquiries, the internal inquiries happening at the SABC. You mentioned them earlier around editorial interference. We see the findings around the sexual harassment issues coming out.
Yeah.
Now, it's still really scary seeing the results of these inquiries and seeing how you know, insidious the relationships actually were. But the fact that we know about this is a good thing. The fact that it is coming out means that we are doing something right.
But it's not enough. I mean, I'm kind of thinking MultiChoice is so big. One can almost compare it to a cell phone company or a bank, where it's just almost impossible for a little guy to win, because it's just so huge. It's just so massive. And because we are not talking about another private entity, we're actually talking about a public broadcaster that is supposed to serve the interest. Now, people are always looking for political ways in which institutions are controlled. But often when you scratch politics, you get to money. Politics is about sets of interests. And this is probably one of the most classical cases where if you scratch the politics, you get actually to the money. And that's actually what gives currency to these relationships. What does Media Monitoring Africa suggest is a way forward, where you have a board that has credibility, they've done some really good things, but they also have the possibility to almost settle for the lesser of evils and not really fundamentally correcting what is an invidious position that the SABC finds itself in, but also you could have a situation where MultiChoice's dominance is actually just made respectable, acceptable, because we're trading it off for a few other reforms.
You know, it's a really difficult situation that we find ourselves in, that we've let ourselves get into. You know, I think you're absolutely right when you say that, you know, behind all the politics is the money. And you've seen that play out in the state capture issues. I think that,
yes,
that, you know, the money is it's one of those things that you follow the money and you find what you're looking for, I suppose.
Yes.
But, you know, the public broadcast, it's interesting. We've had so many debates and arguments with various entities around the relevance of the public broadcaster. And, you know, the bottom line is one cannot ignore the fact that we desperately need the public broadcaster. We can't ignore that. It's still the like you said earlier, the key media institution that the majority of South Africans have access to information, rely on for their news.
Yeah.
But the SABC has a lot to do. It needs to work on the quality of its content.
Yeah.
You know, it needs to provide the news and entertainment, and it needs to regain the credibility and trust of its audience. So not only does it need to work on the quality of the productions it's housing and the quality and the independence of its news, but also building the trust of its audience. And that doesn't happen overnight. You know, that is a long road. And it's particularly important leading up to the elections next year.
Absolutely.
Again, we're going to have the public broadcaster being one of the biggest providers of elections coverage.
Yeah.
And so there isn't room to make any mistakes here. So we have to trust that the board, you know, continues to make good governance decisions.
One of the things that fascinates me about the public broadcaster is, of course, just the role of the shareholder. We know that the SABC is facing a huge financial crisis. It literally has run out of money. It's going to retrench over 900 and odd permanent workers and over 1,200 contract workers. We are yet to find out from the SABC how big the list is of irregular appointments that were made that skyrocketed the budget the way it did. And of course, we are yet to know which of those people were, in fact, in the pockets of Mr. Motsoeneng. And what we do know, however, is that it cost the SABC 40 million rand. And one of the union solidarity that we interviewed on this matter when job losses were issued, they were saying that the SABC is working like a crab. It's working backward. What the SABC ought to do in order to become financially viable and, of course, also a going concern is to recoup the monies that were illegally taken. So, for example, attach the properties of someone like a Mr. Motsoeneng and those of his accomplices. Deal with the people that were irregularly appointed. You know, why are you starting at retrenchments as the first line of trying to get your house in order? Mm-hmm. What is the Media Monitoring Africa's position on the approach of SABC management in this regard? I mean, we, for example, know that CWU, who was a big ally of Mr. Motsoeneng, many of its members actually directly benefited from the largesse of Mr. Motsoeneng, is now kind of spearheading public action. In fact, they had a picket line, on Wednesday at the SABC. And my understanding, according to sources, is that there was quite a harsh reaction from the new management, including Mr. Chris Maruleng and the other people to this action. How do you square off these things? What is the process that needs to happen to ensure that one, the SABC actually recoups the monies that were lost? I mean, Mr. Motsoeneng, for example, supposedly built a studio worth 45 million rand, one chair costing a million rand. We don't know where any of those things are. There's an SIU investigation, but nobody's really been arrested. What we have had is people die at the SABC. People have been shot and killed. Journalists have died. And of course, people have been gagged. So There's a couple of good people who want to do the right thing, but the framework still remains fundamentally flawed.
So, I mean, you've touched on a few really critical issues that we have, and you know, I don't have the answers to all of it. But what I can say is that, well, first of all, we're still waiting for action to be implemented from the parliamentary inquiry that happened, from the parliamentary report, inquiry report. That is critical. We're going to try and, you know, put some pressure on some of the recommendations to be further implemented.
So Tandi, let's just quickly before we run to the next one. In terms of that parliamentary report, one of the things that had to happen was that the then minister, Ms. Minister Mutambi, had to appear before the Ethics Committee to explain her role in this matter. She, of course, is now longer in the cabinet. Does it mean she's off the hook? What kind of action can you actually pursue to hold her accountable?
I'm not 100% sure about the legal action that can actually happen.
Yes.
But I, you know, my personal opinion is that she should definitely still be held accountable for many of the decisions that took place and the irregularities that took place at the public broadcast. You know, just because Claudi Motsoeneng is no longer at the SABC doesn't mean that he's no longer responsible for the decisions that he made. You know, he is going through various processes where more will come out. So I'm not 100% sure about what can actually happen at this point, but something should.
So essentially it's political will, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, it's political will. Parliament still needs to, like I said, implement the recommendations from that inquiry. But just to go back to the issue about the retrenchments and what's going on at the moment. And for MMA, you know, retrenchment should be the absolute last resort.
Yeah.
We, you know, it's not something that you enter into favorably. It's not something that's easy for any party involved. And it seems as though the board is being transparent about this process. Is sort of, we I think relying on the decision making processes that the board is undertaking. But at the bottom line, what is fundamentally important is that the SABC looks into changing its funding model.
Yeah.
And however that happens, that needs to be addressed. The way that the SABC is funded at the moment is not going to allow it to survive as it should be in the new digital age. And
absolutely.
For people also, well, what needs to be considered as well is that what's difficult is that you see a shrinking media industry.
Mm.
If you look at any other media,
yes,
company, entity, newspaper, you've got a shrinking environment. Retrenchments have happened across the board.
Yeah.
You know, you've got newsrooms going from 70-odd journalists to 40 journalists within a space of a year. You know, and the SABC is not immune to this.
Yes.
So it's got an additional, you know, issue to deal with when you're looking at inflated salaries. You're looking at, you know, what I'm not sure the exact ratio, 3-to-1 managers at the SABC.
Yes,
I think it was said. You know, again, decisions that were taken by a previous management, by a previous board, which has been detrimental to the financial stability of the institution.
Mm.
And, you know, ways of dealing with that is what seems to be now the board's decision to look at retrenchments. But what we also need to, you know, we'll call on and find clarity around is that the SABC still hasn't got the any sort of government guarantee or from Treasury.
Yes.
We look at other public institutions, SOEs, your FAA, your ESCOMs, they get bailout after bailout after bailout.
Yeah.
And we're not seeing that kind of support coming into the SABC. So we are dealing with quite a different sort of player in this field. So the SABC, the retrenchments, it can't be easy. And again, it has to be the last resort. But it is a reality that the industry as a whole is facing.
Absolutely. That's where we will leave it. Thank you very much to the head of policy at the Media Monitoring Africa, Tandi Smith, explaining quite a complex set of circumstances that obtain at the public broadcaster, its complex relationship with MultiChoice. But I think one of the issues that we also need to discuss, and it's something that I certainly will take up on this program, is the dominance of MultiChoice in the media space. And its monopoly and its ability to dictate the rules, to be the referee, to be the player, and to essentially create a world in which, there's some level of perfection for them to do just about as they please.